The gospel story that Deacon Tim just proclaimed for us is one of my favorites, one of my favorite stories in all of the gospels. And it's one of my favorites because it demonstrates so vividly the humanity of the apostles and the love of Jesus for them. And it's something very, very down to earth that we can all relate to our lives of faith. Think of how the story opens. This is just a few days after the resurrection, maybe a week or two at the most. St. John tells us that Jesus has already appeared twice to his apostles in the upper room. But we can only imagine what they must have been feeling at that time. Certainly, a lot of uncertainty, probably fear. They knew Jesus was raised from the dead, but they had no idea what that meant. They had no idea what that meant for their lives and what Jesus had asked them to do. So as all of us, so many of us do when we face moments of challenge or confusion, we want to, we long to go back to what we are used to. Peter and the apostles, many of the apostles were fishermen. So in this uncertain place that they find themselves in, Peter simply throws up his hands and says, "I'm going fishing." And the six other apostles who are there with him, they say, "You know what? We're going to go too." In that moment, they were searching for some certainty. They were searching to go back to a place where they felt comfortable, so they were going to go fishing. And if you don't think that this is a human experience common to all of us, think about the pandemic. How many times over the last 2 years have we said, "I wish things would go back to normal"? And though they have in many, many respects, there are still some things that have not gone back to normal. We have been forever changed, our society, our church, and we can look to the past, what we're used to and comfortable with, and long for that. Our own instances of just wanting to go fishing, back to what we recognize. St. John tells us that they were out on the sea fishing at nighttime, and that was very common at the time to fish during the night. But for St. John, the nighttime is a symbol. It's a symbol of lack of faith. It's a symbol of uncertainty when it comes to belief. And notice what happens when they're out fishing at the nighttime. They don't catch anything. They're stuck in this place of uncertainty, of disbelief. And so their nets are empty. But then John tells us they catch sight of Jesus. And he says very specifically, they see him when the dawn has already broken. The light. The light of Jesus is shining in this darkness that the apostles find themselves in. And then they catch an overwhelming catch of fish. So much so that they can't bring it in. Jesus breaks into their darkness. He breaks into their uncertainty, their disbelief, their confusion, everything that they are experiencing at that time. He breaks in with his light. And that's what Jesus wants to do in each and every one of our lives. He wants to break into our lives with the power of his resurrection in all of those places that are dark in our lives. All of those places where his light does not shine. And you know, in some respects, I think it was easier for the apostles. In the 21st century, we have so many distractions. So much to claim our attention. So many pressures on our time. With all of that going on, sometimes it can be hard to let Jesus break into our darkness. Not that he can't, and he will, but we, I think, have to open up a space for that to happen. We have to open up a space in our lives for Jesus to enter in with his light. And I'd like to suggest to all of us today that there is a very special place that we can open up into our lives for Jesus to enter in. There are indeed many, but one in particular I'd like to share with you today. And that space is a prayer that we call Eucharistic adoration. Perhaps you've heard of that from time to time. We mention it in our announcements. Maybe you remember it, maybe from your youth, or you can put it together from the two words, adore, Eucharistic adoration. Maybe you have no idea what that is. Let me explain for a moment. Eucharistic adoration is when we take the host that has been consecrated at the Mass, the host that through the invocation of the Holy Spirit and the words of Jesus spoken by the priest becomes his body and blood, soul and divinity, is transformed from bread into the body of Christ. We take that host and we put it in a large container, I guess you could call it, where you can look at the host through the glass of the container. It's called a monstrance. Comes from the Latin verb to show. And it really, what that monstrance does is it elongates the showing of the host at the Mass. So in a few moments, when I consecrate the host at the Mass, I'll lift it up. And I can't hold it up all day for us to adore the Lord. So that monstrance continues that adoration that happens at the Mass. So we put the host in the monstrance and we leave it on the altar, and it is there for prayer. And it's a very powerful time of prayer to sit in the presence of Jesus, to sit just as the apostles did in today's gospel, in the presence of the risen Lord. We're going to be offering Eucharistic adoration at St. Mark every Friday. Every Friday following the 9 a.m. Mass until 7 p.m. in the evening in the chapel. So that means that you can come at any point during the day, during that time, to sit there and to pray. You can come for 10 minutes. You could come for a half hour. You could come all day and pack a lunch. That would be fine too. Not practical, but great. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to open up a space to sit in the presence of the Lord. Whenever I go to Eucharistic adoration, I like to talk to Jesus about what's going on in my life. I know he knows that already, but it helps me to tell him about it. Just to tell him I have A, B, and C going on, and B is really difficult, and I need your help. That's what adoration could be. Simple prayer, speaking to a friend and listening to him speak back, just as the apostles did in the gospel today. Jesus comes to them as their friend because he knows that they're struggling, and he wants to come to us as well. As I said, there are many, many opportunities for Jesus to break in to the darkness of our lives. But I really do believe that Eucharistic adoration is a very specific and very graced time to let Jesus break in. Perhaps you're sitting here today and you think, well, that's great, but for whatever reason, I'm not worthy of Jesus breaking into my life. Or perhaps I've done something seriously wrong in my past and don't think that Jesus is interested in me. Perhaps I have something seriously wrong right now and don't believe that even Jesus could solve that problem. Wherever you are, and in whatever those darknesses are in your life, think about Peter in the second half of the gospel today. Another demonstration of the humanity of the apostles and the love of Jesus. Remember back at the Last Supper, Jesus predicts that one of the apostles is going to betray him. And Peter pipes up and says, "Oh, surely not I, Lord. I would never do that." And then a few hours later, he does exactly that. He denies three times that he even knows Jesus. And here Jesus comes into that darkness and gives Peter the opportunity three times to profess his faith, to reverse that threefold disobedience into a threefold profession of love. And if Jesus wanted to do that for Peter, he wants to do that for each and every one of us. He had called Peter to a great vocation. He called him to be the leader of his church, the leader of the flock. Through him and his successors, he guides the church. And here Peter has fallen down so hard. And Jesus wants to bring him back up, give him the chance to profess his love, and give him back his vocation. "Feed my sheep," Jesus tells Peter. Jesus wants to do that for us, no matter where we are, no matter what the darkness. Jesus wants to come into that darkness with his light and raise us up, to raise us back up to the dignity of his sons and daughters, and to say to us, just as he did to the apostles, "Follow me."